our guest is here. If he's ready, he can give a thumbs up so we know. All right. Do you want to do the introduction, SP3?
I should. This is one of my favorite people to talk to in the wrestling world. He is multi-time champion all across the land, one of the best professional wrestlers here on the East Coast independent scene, the all-father, the one and only true heel, in my opinion, Mr. Darius Carter.
Hello. What an introduction. I'm doing this in the guest lobby. I'm just like, this is, my goodness. These introductions get better and better and better. It is great to be back. Thank you for having me. Beautiful times.
We appreciate you joining us. I'm sorry you had to listen to our street fight banter there, but it looked like you agreed with me.
Listen, there's a lot in the title, you know. I understand, you know, your viewpoint. You know, just keep in mind that a street fight, you know, all pinfall submissions have to happen inside of the ring. So, you know, it's a little hard for it to end outside of the ring if, by definition of the match type, you know, it can only end inside of the ring.
The match last night didn't end inside the ring. They were outside of the ring, and they counted the 10-fall.
Yeah, that's – I mean, but it's – at that point, by standard rules of match types, then that's a false count anywhere match, right? You'd have to specify – if it's a street fight where falls can count anywhere. But if you just tell people, the audience is educated to the point of a street fight ends inside of a ring. That's what they've been told.
It can still end in the ring. I think it should start in the streets, though. If they battle towards the ring, that's fine. But
I'm with you. It can start anywhere. It just has to end inside of the ring.
Well,
by the standard rules of the match. That's what we've been... we've been taught, right? Is that
he knows? He reads the rule book, so he would know over you, Jeremy. I'm just saying.
I'm challenging someone to a street fight, and you go to pin me outside of the ring, and the ref counts, we have a problem.
Here you go, Darius. I got you here. Challenge someone to a street fight. You say it starts in the streets, but it has to end in the ring. They show up, you run them over with the car, and then you just drag them to the ring and then pin them there.
There's nothing wrong with that.
See, thank you.
It's within the rules of the match that,
yes,
it's like a death match. I wrestled a death match during the pandemic, and I had, you know, gasoline, and I doused my opponent with the gasoline, and I went to go light the match, and the referee, you know, blew it out, which I thought was ridiculous because it's a death match. If I'm the rules of the match say. Again, these are the rules.
Death is in the title.
I don't make the rules, but if you say the match ends when the opponent cannot respond anymore, or and I go to light them on fire, I do not see the error in my ways. I'm following the rules of a match. If I go to do that during a standard affair, DQs, countouts, okay, well, you know, that's out of line. But if we're in a steel cage match, and I go to technically light you on fire, what's to say I'm wrong? There are no disqualifications. There's not a contract unless you signed one pre-match that says do not light your opponent on fire. I mean, there are loopholes in the rules, and this is how you are able to put yourself in advantageous positions. That's how I've been able to get myself, you know, to where I am in a lot of these championships, you know.
Who is this referee? Let's put him on blast.
Let's put him on blast.
This was Camp Leapfrog, and this was referee Chris Levin. So he
I know him. I know, yep. Chris.
Yep. So he had this was 2020, 2021. Yep. And, you know, again, that was during the pandemic when you had to go and find work, when work being, you know, professional wrestling matches, when the world literally just was just everything. Everywhere was a stop sign. Just you couldn't get momentum. And then it's hard for a lot of people to start out. And for me, I was like, well, I just charged right through the pandemic. I'm like, of course I'm going to keep wrestling. I'm going to get tested, as we should be doing, you know, anyway, but, you know, like, I'm going to get tested. Let's go do this match. it is what it is. And I had some of the best stories, you know, in recent years during the pandemic. That actually, I believe that that work, that momentum has brought me to the elevated point that I'm at now. If I had not worked during the pandemic, if I had not wrestled, I would, I don't think I would be in this particular position. I'd still be doing well because I'm me, and I'm just saying that because of hard work and stuff like that. But that the pandemic, staying the course, and some of the storylines I was involved in, and just, and again, Camp Leapfrog was one of those big promotions because they were on IWTV. And keep in mind, wrestling wasn't, during the pandemic, it's not like it was a conveyor belt of professional wrestling. It's just, oh, okay, well, they're running. Let's see what they're about. And that was such a good run. I give them so much credit, Camp Leapfrog, which is basically where a lot of Chikara people went when it's like displacement, you know, once Chikara kind of went through their situation, you know, a lot, just about all that locker room or most of that locker room basically shifted to Camp Leapfrog, which is still on IWTV and you can check it out. But I had some matches with the likes of Hoodfoot over there. So we did some things over there, but it was very story driven. And which of course is how I love it. Right. And those years of work, again, just very grateful for that, that we were able to do that. That momentum has catapulted me. And now here we are, you know, Ashe Wrestling and just all of these big events and wrestling over in Indiana and then North Carolina and just hitting all over the country and just making those moves, you know. It's a beautiful thing. You know, it's all about how you stack it up. It's all about how you stack your victories and just keep, momentum is a real life thing. It's a thing. If you're rolling, you want to keep rolling. You know what I mean? People don't seem to always believe in momentum, but if you keep that positive momentum going and you continue to just stack accolades, just make your little bits of history and your moves every single day, it does equate to a very successful life. So that's what it is.
So I wanted to ask you, because I talked to you about 6 months ago over on the True Heel Heat YouTube channel, and this was mere weeks before you faced Christopher Daniels. So, you know, kind of tie in everything that we were talking about earlier. We were talking about the whole Hangman. He had that last matchup with Christopher Daniels. So you got to see Daniels' last official match, it seems, in pro wrestling. How much did that match mean to you to be in there as one of his last opponents, especially on the independent scene in a promotion that he had so much history in?
I mean, and let's look at the facts. I mean, it just so happens that I wrestle Christopher Daniels' ECWA Heavyweight Championship match, this Night of Legends event, basically their return to Delaware, which is where they were basically running out of back in 1997, you know, when they were, you know, doing the Super 8 tournaments when they just began. So, and that was really the thing between us is I'm actually the second person ever to win 2 Super 8 tournaments. They've been running for 28 years. So that illustrious tournament that, you know, the longest running promotion, really, independent promotion, especially going today, for me to achieve that accolade, that's something that, right, only one other person has done it. And that other person is Christopher Daniels. He won it in 2000 and he won it in 2004. I won it in 2022 and 2024. So that was really the main driving point of that match. And then, of course, him coming back to ECWA. But look at the facts. I beat that man, and then he's done. He's retiring shortly after. So I'm his last match in ECWA. I'm certainly his last ECWA Heavyweight Championship match. This is it. You know, if his career is completely done today, if it's over, said, and done, that is where I stand in the history books. And this is the stuff you have to count your victories, and you have to tell people that it's happening, because some life is so fast that sometimes people miss things, and you have to tell them, you have to remind them. Not that you have to tell them all the time, but you want to put that seed in their head that they remember, oh, Darius, oh, you wrestled Christopher Daniels. You want to tie everything together, you know? So, that was monumental. He's the original, you know, I talk about how I feel like there are a lot of, you know, mosquitoes, bloodsuckers, people that kind of try and take your thing. They see you're doing something well, and they like to adapt it, you know. And Christopher Daniels is like the original in terms of so many people were copying Christopher Daniels. Everybody wanted to be a fallen angel. Everybody wanted to hit a best moonsault ever. You know, I
still do.
When I did in 2008, yeah, and the end of 08, 09, you know, they – a lot of that period of wrestlers, those periods of wrestlers, they were big on, you know, they all had that Ring of Honor guy. You know, Samoa Joe, Takeshi Morishima, Homicide, Jerry Lynn, of course, Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles. This is, everyone was kind of pulling from those types of guys. And Christopher Daniels was so highly imitated. And just to be in there with someone who's truly legendary, and sometimes that word gets thrown around, misused. Christopher Daniels is somebody that truly is a pillar of not just independent wrestling, but wrestling in general. He's just done so much. He's been everywhere. He's wrestled everywhere. He's wrestled every type of style, you know, 100 times. So to be in there with him and to get to test my abilities, you know, against somebody of that level, of that stature, and to be trusted with that match. You know, Jim Kettner was there, and he, you know, the OG president of ECWA, and for him to, you know, shake my hand and to tell me the things he told me, and him to see me as champion of what was once his company, and for him to smile, and just, it was just a beautiful day, Night of Legends. And it was so, again, it's so pivotal to your continued success. It's momentum, because it's what do you do going into that match, and then what do you do after it? You know, okay, now I've wrestled Christopher Daniels. I can't, you know, just rest on it. Like, you know, you can.
At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Post a few times, I can talk about it, but I need to springboard that to the next thing. And that was back in August of last year, and so much has happened. Again, that leads us to these Ashe events, and that leads us to the traveling again. Even more places open up, even bigger things open up. IWTV, Title Match Network, constantly a face on there, and it's cool because you can log into these sites, and you know, if I have an event, you know, there you are in the front of the banner, you know, and you can't lose sight of that. You have to, again, count your successes and realize, hey, look, I'm doing well, but keep on moving. And just, I want to log into a website and see my face there. Hey, there's an article on Darius Carter and just what he's doing lately. And that's what it's all about. It's all about stringing together your victories and making them known to the world, making sure people get to see it. Christopher Daniels, I got so much feedback for that. So that was just a monumental time of my life, and I'm very glad I got to do it.
Well, let's talk about the Ashe events, and specifically the match that is airing today against a man you're familiar with, Darius Lockhart. And so I have to ask, because you put this out there, so the first person I see standing in Gorilla upon returning from this match, Ron Simmons. He called this the So I gotta ask what Ron Simmons said about this match.
Oh man, you clever boys. like the hunter from the first Jurassic Park movie, Muldoon. You're right. So, you know what's funny is the reason I tweeted it like that is not to be secretive, but because people won't believe you if you say it. I remember thinking to myself, I said, people won't believe me when I say this just because it's me saying it. But Ron Simmons had – so we come back from the match, and Ron Simmons, I mean, it's literally Ron Simmons standing there, you know, not sitting watching through the chair, you know, which he was doing with other matches. He was sitting behind the curtain and he's watching every match, every single match. And a guy like me is watching to go see who's going up to Ron Simmons and asking for any advice. I mean, this is Ron Simmons. How often are you going to have him in your locker room? And if he is in your locker room, how often is he going to have the time to sit and watch every single match? That's what this man was doing, front to back. So Ron Simmons is in Gorilla. And I'm like, all right. I come from the back. And Ron said to me, and said this to my opponent as well, and he was like, that was the best professional wrestling match I have seen in recent memory. I'm hearing this from Ron Simmons. So I'm like, you know, you don't want to, you obviously got to sell it, but you also, you know, don't want to, you know, come out of your body because the first black world heavyweight champion, Ron Simmons, who's actively watching wrestling. It's not like, again, this man is not watching wrestling. It's not like, oh, I watch, you know, a couple matches of WWE a year and that's it. I mean, this man is actively watching wrestling. He just watched every single match. I watched him watching every single match because we were on last. And for him to have said that, I mean, and he broke it down and he explained it. It's amazing, right, with pro wrestling because, you know, when you first come in, you just want to wrestle and just show people what you can do. And that was my thing when I first, you know, 2008, 2009, I just wanted to show how athletic I was and show people about my technical skill that I'd been studying and the British wrestling. And I just wanted to get all that off and people to see it. But some of the best professional wrestling, and I mean professional wrestling, some of the best comes from just, it's emotion. It's making people feel. It's making people believe. It's making people feel immersed in everything that you're doing to the point they're watching everything that you're doing. When you are walking towards your opponent in the corner, they're looking closely to see, hey, does he have something in his hand? Or, you know, what's he looking at? What is Darius eyeing up? Is he eyeing up a body part? Like, what's he going to do? When you have people that entranced in what you're doing, you know, that's the biggest victory. It's not so much about how you do it with the moves and the, like, oh, I got this, you know, I've been working on this suplex in training, you know, and this is a big event. Let me try and pull it out here. This is about making people feel and making people remember. And basically what Ron had said was the emotion that we were able to evoke from people, you know. He's just like, that's what it's always been about. And you committed yourself to making sure people responded emotionally to what you were doing. And that's what I focus on. So it's great to be seen, and it's great to then be seen by somebody standing on such a precipice in this sport. So it was just so fulfilling. And that's why I'm ultimately excited for this match to kind of come out on this stage. Where, you know, you have Ashe TV, it's your weekly episodic program that is coming out. I mean, you know, how often are you getting to see that, you know? Even if they're filming an event, and an event is running, they're usually going to run, what, monthly at best. They're not running weekly, an independent event especially. So to give you an hour of content, to give you character bios, whether you're familiar with these people or not, to give you storyline backdrops, to give you artistic performances, to give you pre-match and post-match dialogue of what's going on and what you're about to watch and what you did just watch. I mean, I strongly advise it to people. It's an hour out of your day, but they come out every week. And I've basically been featured every week, and they've driven up to this match with Darius, you know, Darius Lockhart, Darius number two, you know, it's his promotion, but it's my time. You understand? So that's why we're having this match. There's a lot of animosity. There's a lot of, I feel like he dropped the ball and I'm the one that picked it up, but people didn't want to give me the respect. You know, I'm over here with the ball. I'm shooting threes, but you're not trying to look at me because I'm not the person that you wanted to be in that position. But that's too bad. You know, life is about who's getting it done and who's not. And I was getting it done while Darius took his time away. It was personal reasons. I understand that. But the point is the point. You know, you got up and you left, and that needed to be filled by somebody. And people were looking to other people. I stepped in and I said, it's going to be me. And that was my mentality even before he left. It wasn't about him. It was just I got onto the court, and then I saw that the ball ball was on the ground. And I said, well, I don't – people are looking at it. Other people are afraid of it, kind of stepping back, kind of like, ugh, I don't know if I want that responsibility. Ugh. I'm like – I walked right up, picked up two hands, and said, let's roll. And that's the credit that I feel like I deserve, and that's why – that's a driving force for me in this upcoming match with Darius. This was the second event at Ashe. You know, I was coming off of beating Jonathan Gresham, you know, the Jonathan Gresham. So I beat that man, you know, and I went move for move, hold for hold with him. So this is Darius Lockhart's, you know, return back to wrestling. And this is my kind of arrival to certain people where it's like this, you think it's about him and you think it's about his return, but look who he's coming back to face. You know, that's a statement. People so much, you know, so often they look at when someone's making their return, they're looking at them. But it's like, but who are they wrestling? There's a reason that that person is in that position. There's a reason that wrestler is wrestling this returning figure. Sometimes they just throw a, you know, okay, a ham and egg out there. So what? But when you put an established talent, when an established talent is looking across the ring from a returning talent from an injury or something like that, there's a reason why. So, this is a big match, and again, Ron Simmons, you know, yeah, sure he's not watching this, but it's just I'm so grateful, and you know, if he is, you never know. But that was just a beautiful thing, and no matter how well you're doing and how you feel about yourself and how you're contributing to your craft, having someone like that give you a kind of an eardrop and just kind of – that water, it just nurtured the soil. You know, the soil was doing fine, but that water, it's just like some – that was just a beautiful thing. Some new things may grow out of that just because of that statement. So, yeah, just check this match out. It's one of my favorites that I've had. It's – again, it was just emotion, and it's just him coming back from a two-year layoff and me being the guy that was grinding while he was away. So it's two stories combining into one. You know, whether you like me or you don't like me, you understand my viewpoint. And whether you like Darius, you don't like him, of course you're going to like him, you're going to understand his viewpoint. Those are the best matches. Those are the best stories when you were just combining two things that people have really been following and get invested in. Let's watch this unfold. So very, very thrilling.
One of my favorite things about talking to you is that you're not only so immersed in what you do, you kind of are a student of the game, not just from the past. You kind of keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on right now. So, and another thing that I always appreciate, especially with your social media, is you like to pinpoint things that are underappreciated in the current game. So what would you say is one of the more underappreciated people or things going on the independent scene and then more on like the mainstream promotions in wrestling right now?
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is like, again, if I'm watching something and I'm interested and I'm invested, you know, I want people to know too, because so there's always people that are like, you know, wondering what I'm thinking or what's on my mind. And I'm watching wrestling all the time. I'm watching all different types of wrestling. You know, I'm watching the independent wrestling. I'm watching shows that I'm on, shows that are in the area, shows that are not in the area. And I'm watching the main wrestling as well. So I'm watching the WWEs. And I'm also watching, you know, things like the Level Ups. I watch Main Event. I watch those things because, you know, there's a reason they're putting these matches out there. You know, Level Up was a lot of development, was a lot of, hey, here's art. Are some of our guys. So these guys that are on, you know, LFG, I've been watching them because they were on Level Up. A lot of these guys, this may be your first time seeing them, but I've been seeing them, you know, for months and months and months developing themselves. And here you are fresh out of the PC. Here's a match. You know, they're basically showing you kind of the ropes, and people are missing these nuggets. And I make sure that I watch Main Event. So I'll make sure, oh, look, here's a Natalya match. You know, who's not watching a Natalya match as a professional wrestler? I mean, if you have the opportunity, just because she's literally training half of these wrestlers that are coming through, she's in the ring with all of them, constantly posting this. This is free game. That's what we call free game. On a bingo board, it's a free space. And if you got Natalya and things like that, people like that as a free space, What are we doing and not paying attention? So there's so many things going on. Again, even with Ashe and what they have developing, they just had Jonathan Gresham. You know, Aja Kong was there wrestling Trisha Dora. So these are things. How many times are you seeing Aja Kong on an independent wrestling event, you know, in this country, you know, let alone her being in North Carolina to do that? So, you know, there's so many things going on in the independents. I hope people are paying attention to things like Warriors of Wrestling and the storylines going on there, and how we have legendary talent coming in there to pitch their piece. You got to pay attention to things like BCW, which is where I'm at. You know, you have to pay attention to everything that's going on and try to grab these interests. You talk about underestimated people. I mean, if we're talking about like TV, I'm a massive. I love Finn Balor, and I think Finn Balor is secretly doing like the best work that he's been doing in a long time, because every decision that he's making goes back to a previous thing that we've seen him do. You know, like I loved how he kept bringing up with Damian Priest. Listen, you cost me a year ago, and that's why that's been a driving point. Because if you watch Finn, that's mattered to him. Every single point of the story, he's made it a point to bring it up. It's not like it's been forgotten. His storyline, his character has been going back years to when he originally joined the Judgment Day. He's really secretly the heart of Judgment Day, even though we look to like Dominic and we look to Rhea and we look to, you know, Damian. Finn is kind of last. He's that beat. He's that heartbeat right now, secretly. And I was so invested to his road to WrestleMania. And he may not be the first person they're throwing out there, but he has a story for everything. And I've been saying, I put out a thing saying, I feel like we kind of have a antagonist dilemma where there's not as many of them, and the ones that are there are not getting to be featured. So, and it's in independent wrestling as well. It's just kind of like where there's this race to create protagonists, and that's great. But that's something that should have been happening the entire course of the way. That should be the primary objective, is to always try to create a new face and then have your antagonists that can collide with them. And this is how you see these periods. This is how you get to Austin Rock, you know, and you have Triple H there who's wrestling these guys to because they need opponents and it can't be wrestling each other all the time. So this is it's important, and history is so important. And I think sometimes people are so committed to trying to create something new that they forget that what is tried and true and works, it works for a reason. You can throw different paint codes and different colors on it, but realize why what worked on such a great level. Because there were box offices that were broken doing the basics and doing following tradition. So maybe you want to incorporate some of that if you want to get to those points today. So I look at to Finn Balor again, Nia Jax, someone else who doesn't always get, you know, hey, that's my favorite wrestler. But every time I see what she's doing, character-wise, work-wise, I'm just like, this is some next level stuff. Whether it's a Raw, SmackDown, it's a pay-per-view, because you're committed to your opponent. Your matches are different based on your opponent, and you have a message that you're trying to get out there. And she just makes – how many people are getting to go to wrestle one World Heavyweight Champion on one brand and then wrestle the other World Heavyweight Champion? I mean, you got to see what's going on here. There's a reason that she's in that position. There's a reason that Nia was chosen to be that person. Champions needed opponents in marquee matches. They go to Nia Jax. Look at that 2024 and the matches with Bayley and the matches with Naomi. The look at how stack those matches up and see how they were different and how they built upon each other. I could never get tired of watching her work. So these are things that I look to. You know, again, some people, they might not be the number one option for people, the most popular option, but I'm looking at their stories because I'm invested in what they've been showing us on TV week to week. Like, I want to see Finn get his vengeance. I want to see Finn get his moment. Because he hasn't had it in a while, and he's done a lot of great things since then, but he hasn't had that, and I'm eager to see that. That's a payoff for me as a viewing fan. I wanted to see Finn get his something against Edge, you know, at WrestleMania. Like, I wanted to see Finn get something against Damian. And the fact that he's not, it's all kind of festering him in him even more. And hopefully we'll see him do something that kind of creates that path to WrestleMania. But I'm very invested in that. So little things like that. Your story. Who are you? Why are you there? Why should I care to see you at WrestleMania? Like, yes, you're a great wrestler, but why should I want to see you in a marquee match on night one or two of WrestleMania? I want to know your story. So,
a guy you're facing coming up, he was on the show with us last week. I think he was going to murder me last week. So hopefully you don't have the same reaction here. But you're facing Charles Mason up here in What do you think of Charles Mason? This message is in July. What do you make of Charles Mason? And do you guys think alike? I don't want to say you are alike, because he nearly killed me for saying I thought me and him were alike. But what do you make of Charles Mason?
Yeah, I leave my bodies in the ring. I think Charles has some bodies outside of it, and that's his business. He could be like Edgar Allan Poe for all I care. He can cut you up, put you in the door and the floor. You know, Edgar Allan Poe to whatever. That's your business. You know, great artist. I think that Charles Mason is a fan of Darius Carter. Charles Mason enjoys Darius Carter. Charles Mason enjoys watching Darius Carter. Charles Mason has picked up some things from watching Darius Carter. These are facts. I think Charles Mason is a big fan of the Allfather. I think that he loves me. And I'm not sure about what he does to things that he loves, but he's definitely a perverse, twisted individual. But the thing about him is, you know, that's all out in the forefront with him. We know that about him, right? That's what he's selling. He's selling perverse behavior. He's selling, you know, having fans be in a line and he's choking them. He's putting them in rear naked chokeholds. That's great, right? But the most dangerous people on earth are the ones that don't have to go out there and show it all the time. They're the ones that can write it in cursive and not in massive print in bold. They're the ones that can, just like how I said again, Finn, I feel like is silently the best antagonist in the company right now. I don't need to put a fan in a chokehold. I don't need to do that. I don't need to show you anything. All I need to do is put the sleeper hold on the person that you love inside of the ring, the person that you brought your sign for. You're wearing their shirt. You go to their merch table. When I have them in the chokehold, that's you're feeling it. Oh, believe me, you are feeling it. If you care about that person and I have them at my mercy, you are feeling it. I don't need to put you in it. And that's Charles. Charles is selling you something. And I do believe that man is, there's a psychological, disparity between, you know, what he wants to do. I think there's synapses are triggered in there. I think that there's some things going on inside of his mind. I think he's a clever person. I think he's smart, and I look forward to wrestling him, but I also know his weaknesses. And I think I know his weaknesses certainly better than him. And I think I know his weaknesses better than his opponents. I mean, I've seen him wrestle Amazing Red, and Amazing Red helped bring him to the game. And even Amazing Red doesn't see the certain things that I can see. And that's a legend right there. That's a testament to him. But I've watched Charles for a long time. I know when someone is watching me, and I know when someone is picking up things from me. And listen, what he's doing is his own thing, you know, in terms of that. But I'm talking about little things that he does. And you guys were putting a point on it without putting a point on it. But there are little things that he does where, you know, if you're a Darius Carter watcher, you're like, you have to be. It's okay. Sleeper hold. All right. You know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, movement this. Listen, I didn't invent the move, but I'll tell you, I can tell when someone's supporting the work. And he does it his own way, but he's going to have to now face me. And it's going to be interesting to see what he tries to do against me versus what he does to other people. You will see the difference in his performance. That's something I can assure you, because the things that he has picked up as normal things, the hits, if you will, they won't work on me. And he knows that. So he's going to have a very difficult night. He's going to have an immensely difficult night. He knows that. And I look forward to making that man sweat. His whole thing is making people sweat. His whole thing is making you under the armpits. His whole thing is putting you in a disadvantageous position. What happens when that happens to him? Before the bell even rings. Before the bell even rings. Once the entrances are made and we're locking eyes, you're going to see a different version of him before we've even touched. And that's going to be the magic of this match. I am that person. I am that man. They don't want to give me the credit for it, but you can't have the same match with me that you have with everybody else. I am not a run-of-the-mill competitor. I am not a fill-in-the-blank opponent. I am a different type of match every single time. And Charles is going to experience that firsthand, and it's going to be mentally, physically, emotionally excruciating for him.
Can't wait to see that. My one final question for you is that, you know, you got that match in July, you got the big match that's going to air today with Darius Lockhart, but one of the big events that you have kind of made your name on in the last couple of years is the For the Culture event during WrestleMania weekend. So I want to ask you, is there anything you want to put out there as far as a challenge or manifest for the culture since you headlined last year's event? I'm pretty sure you should be on this coming event in Las Vegas.
Well, I mean, we can confirm if it hasn't been, you know, displayed in writing or put in an article by now. I will absolutely be at the For the Culture event. I will absolutely be there representing Ashe as Ashe Men's Heavyweight Champion, the first, the only, the inaugural, the greatest of all time. I will be bringing that championship there. There's so much developing that week that it's hard to even put out a schedule because the moment I put it out, it's going to change. There's just so many moving parts right now. It's hard to put something out there concrete for you to see. But I will tell you again that I will be there. There is no doubt about it. That's already confirmed. How many matches, how many promotions, how many championship defenses, we will see. You know, it's all developing. It's been in the works for a long time, and it's developing further even more. Wally Mania, you know, it's just this year, listen, every year has been better and better when it comes to WrestleMania. Being in Philly last year and getting to main event, a GCW event. You know, I'm not a regular on their shows. If you look up, you try to look up the GCW roster, you will not see me there. But I main evented, you know, a GCW event, you know, in Philadelphia. I mean, the credit has to be given. What's due is due. You know what I mean? And it was me and Billy Dixon, a feud that has been going on 5 years now, consistently going up and down the coast with these matches. You know, Virginia, Washington, D.C., North Carolina, New Jersey, you know, hitting all of these places, bringing this feud there, and then getting that moment, GCW main event during WrestleMania week, and we're not regulars on the roster. So how do you top that? So you go out there, you know, you bring a championship with you, the championship that represents the culture the most at this moment, which is the Ashe Men's Heavyweight Championship. I bring that out there, and we'll see what's going to happen. There's going to be a lot happening. I can feel it already. You know, I almost feel like it's closer than it is because the anticipation is building so much. You're just ready to go, but there's still time. So, you will see, but just know that the leader of the culture will be representing the culture. I will be there. I will be in action, and we'll see how many times. We'll see who it's going to be against. We'll see in what capacity. Will they be singles matches? Will they be something else? 2025. It's the year of the all-fires. It's the year of truth. And the last year was the best year of my career, no doubt about it, in terms of getting to be in there, as we mentioned, with Christopher Daniels. How many of my peers can say that they've been in the ring and wrestled Christopher Daniels, especially in a one-on-one match. And then especially at an event like a Night of Legends where people from ECWA's past were all there. Mr. Ooh La La, the Cheetah Master. I mean, we're talking old school names. And think of people that have won the Super 8 tournament, you know, the likes of Tommaso Ciampa, of Xavier Woods, of Christopher Daniels. These are people whose careers were catapulted, and I won it twice. And look at what I'm going through now. It's a beautiful thing. And again, you just have to enjoy the ride and put the flag, you know, let people know what's going on. Hey, here it is, you know, and that's it. And, you know, hope that they follow along. And there's a lot more people watching than they'll ever tell me. That's one thing I continue to learn, too. It's like a life lesson. Is there's always more people watching than you think. I will have people from TV, whether it's WWE, you know, TNA, W, whatever it is, people that will tell you that they watch your stuff. They don't follow you on Instagram. They don't follow you on X or Twitter. They don't have your Facebook. They don't like maybe actively like your stuff, but they're watching you. And that's what I said about Charles Mason, is because you can tell, right, and how his movements have changed. You can tell that there are influences, and I know for a fact that I'm one of them. And it's great to be in a ring with people like that, but then it's like, hey, you're about to find out why I'm the one who influenced you. You're about to find out, and not just physically, mentally, and emotionally. It's all about making people feel, bringing us back to Ron Simmons. It's all about emoting, making people feel. And it's about making your opponent feel, too, because if you make them feel, you can make them make a mistake, and you can capitalize on it. So there's a lot coming. There's a lot to see. Stay tuned.
Darius, we appreciate you joining us here today. Let everybody know where they can find you at and what you got going on.
Yes, so you can find me very easy to find. You can find me at Mr. Darius Carter, Mr. Darius Carter. You can spell the name. You see the name on the lower third there. So Mr. Darius Carter, that's on Twitter or X. That is on Facebook. That is on Instagram. I'm constantly posting about events and what's coming up. It's very easy to tell. It ain't hard to tell when it comes to the All-Father. So check me out there. Again, obviously, you know, with this match with Darius Lockhart every Thursday. Check out Ashe TV. This is on their official YouTube channel, Ashe Wrestling, you know, at Ashe Wrestling. Every week, every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, we are putting out at least an hour of content. And their focus tonight, Ashe XBHM, which is, of course, Ashe X Black History Month, coinciding because this match actually happened during Black History Month when it originally happened, February 24th. So it's cool to see it re-released during Black History Month. It's not a play on anything. It literally happened during Black History Month, and we're re-showing it to you again during Black History Month a year later. So, you know, check that out, you know, and realize what's going on. And that what's going on is the best thing going today, and that's the All-Father. Come on. Come on.
Thank you, Darius. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.